Just to clarify, these views that we speak of on our podcast are 100% our own and not those associated to anyone from Luton Town Football Club. Thank you very much.
Hello and welcome to Over the Town. We're going to talk about the game, of course, but agony yet again in the final minute of a game at Kenilworth Road as Aston Villa score and take all 3 points away from Kenilworth Road, despite, which I would like to say, is a fantastic second half for Luton Town. Just couldn't see it out yet again. How can we stop this from happening? One player standing out at Kenilworth Road that day also, and, you know, since he's been back from injury, was Jordan Clarke. We've asked you what you've made of his return following his injury. We have your three-word reviews and much, much more. And with me tonight is Steve. You'll notice that Bataro's not with us tonight. He's got some issues that he needs to see to. So it's just me and Steve. So, Steve, how are you doing?
Yeah, not too bad at all, mate. Yeah, I could do with Bataro here because he hides my ample frame on the camera, so I'm exposed tonight.
Well, let's hope you can keep talking for as long as you can, because you've got his big boots to fill as well. Yeah. At the weekend, I started off by saying there, you know, I don't want to say that the performance was lacking, because I don't think it was, but yet again, last minutes, we switch off, or the points are taken from our grasp after we're fighting ourselves back in and giving the team yet again a 2-0 lead. It's quite frustrating, isn't it? Because you can see how good the team are.
We're making it almost impossible for ourselves, to be honest with you. We'll go into the game in greater detail, but, you know, it was a poor start. You know, free header for, you know, one of the goals. Brilliant second half. Brilliant second half. We'll come on to, we'll speak about, you know, Amari Bell, and, you know, various decisions that were made sort of before and during the game. Some brilliant, you know, some, you know, you think, why have they done it that way?
But it's frustrating, though, when
you feel punch drunk after a while. Oh. It's happened so many times, you almost become numb to it and you're just waiting for it to happen.
Yeah, but, you know, in the past, when we were in the lower leagues and before we started performing really well, I would have said it's a typical Luton thing to be in front and defend and defend and defend and then score against them very late. Since we've been in the Premier League, we've had those last-minute goals flying in. Surely you've got to say the players are knackered by the time they put that effort in the second half.
It could well be, you know, a fatigue thing. I know start of the season particularly, it looked like the fitness levels were quite noticeably different between ourselves and some of the other teams. But I think our fitness has got a lot more up to speed. But, yeah, it's definitely because, you know, Kabore against Liverpool and Villa, both far post, really late on. And, again, both games, he was absolutely knackered. So maybe it's a fatigue thing. Understandably, for us mere mortals, you switch off for a second. But, you know, yeah, I think it was the Villa sub. He was fresh, he was alert. And, you know, it just sickens me because we put such a shift in and it was phenomenal second half.
Do you think there's more pressure on us when you know the results of the day have gone on? You know, so we go to that game knowing exactly what's happened in the previous games that may affect us. Does that affect our performance, do you think?
I don't think that does affect the players, no. You know, because they've worked towards it all week. You know, a game plan, they've got it clear in their head how they want to go about things, what they've got to do, who they've got to stop and everything. So, I think there might be a couple of percent of, oh, it would be really nice if we could, you know, on top. But no, I think they are more professional than, oh, look at those results. Right, let's go out and do it. I don't think that's the score.
Okay, so let's have a look at your three-word reviews from Luton Town 2, Aston Villa 3. Nick said this one hurt. Phil, late disappointment again. Joe, another gutting result. Darren says, cracking second half. And David says, deja vu. Yeah, that sums it up, doesn't it? John, season summed up. Adam, injuries having the impact. Injuries having impact, not the impact, because that'd be four.
It would.
Ben, we deserve more. Andy Weistart Bell and Martin Keep the Faith. Is there anything that
I think there? I think pretty much all of those really do sum the day up, to be honest with you. Now, I don't know if Amari's was a recurrence of what happened in the previous game. However, 3 minutes in, I didn't see any sort of knock or stretch or strain. All I saw was, you know, he basically...
He just pulled up.
Yeah, just pulled up and sat down. Now, I don't know. Can you gamble? It's easy in hindsight when it failed, but can you gamble with if someone was clearly injured? But you can only say that if it is a recurrence of that injury. You know, it might be something different. I don't know. But
you've got to trust the team, though. I mean, you've got to trust the medical team saying he's fit. They wouldn't put him on if they didn't think he was fit enough.
So. Well, I would hope not, but we're really struggling as well. So, you know, there would have been a reluctance to change it more than that was necessary.
Adam says injuries are having impact, and they definitely are, aren't they? You know, we're really short at the back there, and it's frustrating, and I don't want to talk about, you know, it's just frustrating. People have been saying, oh, we should have got more people in the transfer window, et cetera, et cetera. No. We've got a decent squad. It's just frustrating that all the injuries are coming now.
I think what we're seeing is that we've got a very competitive 15. You know, but as soon as we're through that and there's a couple of injury suspensions, then we're struggling. You know, and it's not just, you know, defensive injuries. You know, it's a knock-on effect. You know, we brought Doughty back in the first half to a more defensive role. That took so much attacking emphasis away from us. You know, and Doughty's got quite a languid sort of style, sort of how he plays anyway, but it didn't look to me as if he was sort of enjoying it back there, you know.
It was a bit lackluster in the first half, I thought. It's frustrating. I just want to sort of, Ben, we deserve more. You're right, Ben, we did deserve more. We got ourselves back into a game that we thought had gone away from us, and I think it went away from us for our own faults.
Yeah, I mean, the law of averages would suggest that in these epic fails that we've had during the season, that one or two of them wouldn't have gone that way. You know, so why is it nearly everyone has gone that way? Is it because we are so badly fatigued at the end and there's always been someone fresher and more alert, you know, in the opposition? I don't know. But, you know, it's been mentioned throughout the season, sort of, you know, the fine margins. You know, crikey, isn't it just?
It's so fine. And if you think back to the FA Cup game against Manchester City, you know, you give Haaland a two-goal start and, you know, and he's in and he's played strongly. And then we get it back to 3-2. And you're thinking, this is great. But you can understand a team to the magnitude of Manchester City stepping up and scoring more. Yet Aston Villa are pushing for Champions League, aren't they? And you're just thinking, can we hold on? So I think we deserve to hold on. Villa had one shot in the second half and it went in.
I mean, first half, and as they've been a lot of the season, they're really fluid. You know, what I noticed about them, they did not panic. When we were pressing and pressing, they did not panic. And invariably, they managed to pass their way through it. You know, whereas our press nearly always has created problems, created a mistake and a turnover, but they're really good on the ball. They're really comfortable. They are fluid in that. So, you know, you're not fourth at this stage of the season by luck. You know, they're a really good team. They've got an exceptional manager who's got them so well drilled. You know, I'd imagine Emery, the level of detail he goes into is outrageous, and they're reaping the benefits of it.
I would have said they were worried when we got back in the game, but we'll get to that in a moment.
Yeah.
Look, when we went up to Villa Park, and I've said this, and I said it on national TV as well, didn't I, that that was up until we played Liverpool and Manchester City, that was the only game I felt we were outclassed up at Villa Park. And even then we scored.
Yeah, and I felt that was the sort of the first time up to that point in the season where we went really concerned about what the opposition could have done to us. That was the first time I thought, oh, we're looking really cautious about it.
Yeah, and so when we start here, we have three changes from when we played Manchester City. Obviously, Kaminski was coming back in. Kabore and Townsend for Ogbeni and Woodrow. I was was Ogbeni injured or
was
Ogbeni injured? Because I would have expected him to start.
Don't know. I'm not aware of an injury.
Okay, so look, the game starts and you're thinking Villa are pinging this ball around. Well, oh, by the way, wasn't it great to see the whole of the Okies safe standing?
It was wonderful, and the fact that they've blocked, they're using almost every single seat possible. It's nice to see a continued sort of flow of people in home and away, but in the Kenilworth Road end, I said to my mate Keith, I said, it is louder up there. It is much louder up there today. I think everyone standing in the Oak and up in the corner as well.
It makes it better.
Yeah, much better. Really good atmosphere.
Your mate Keith gets a mention every week, Steve. He's on my bingo card. I've got him down.
Okay, and then there's my grandson.
Oh, yeah, I've got that one. Yeah, anyway, okay. Yeah. Sorry. hey to Keith if you're listening. Yeah, so look. Villa go at it. They start very well. They have a lot of possession, a lot of passing. We're doing a lot of high pressing. Mm-hmm. And for all their chances, they weren't going on target, were they? There was a couple of early chances from memory. But and again, I think Kaminski had a fantastic game.
Yeah.
Is he not the best goalkeeper in the league in this division? I think he is probably one of the best, if not the best.
You're going to do well. I mean, obviously, people are going to say Edison, but, you know, if... it's never going to happen, but you could say, right, well, give us Edison then and see how good he is with a team that is defending more and facing more shots than that. But, I mean, Kaminski's just been outrageously good. You know, he's really built into the season. You can see his confidence and belief growing. I think it helps with a settled back four or back five. And, yeah, he's blossoming. I mean, a great... shot stopper. I think his distribution pretty much is really, really good. And yeah.
So listen, the first 20 odd minutes went with, you know, a few scares, but nothing much. But then I just thinking, you know, set pieces and you should defend a set piece. We give away for, I think of, you know, a corner. I don't know if it, did it come from a save? I can't remember. I can't remember. That's, you know, age clipping in there. But from the corner, Ollie Watkins, he's a head and shoulders above everybody and he's on his own.
Mm. There was not an awful lot of movement from him.
No, and it's described as a bullet header here in our notes. But anyone can head the ball into the net when there's no one challenging him.
Well, yeah, that's right. I mean, that was the point. You know, everyone was saying, well, who was on him? You know, the defender was sort of looking around, sort of, talking to each other, going, well, where the hell did that come from? But, you know, it was a fairly sort of well-flighted corner. It wasn't one of these fluffy bunny ones.
No, I thought the delivery was excellent. We always say, and we've said it time and time and time again, if we're going to concede, can we concede to some cracking goals? Look at the Manchester United goal on Sunday.
Yeah.
That first goal from Rashford was like,
yeah,
you know, if you're going to lose to a goal like that.
Exactly, and Foden's first one as well.
Absolutely, they were fantastic goals.
Yeah.
And we seem to just, I think we were at fault for all the goals.
The Watkins header was definitely one where, you know, championship game, you'd have been furious about it. You know, but, you know, why, you know, it just seems that we concede more than a fair share of, you know, very avoidable goals. And it's disappointing because, you know, we're giving ourselves this absolute mountain every single game, you know, and Christ, you know, the determination and belief, you know.
Oh, you can't doubt that.
Oh, no, it's just outrageous, you know. And, you know, I think Morris has become brilliant again, you know, not because he's become captain, but since he's become captain, you know, and again, he's got the central role because of Elijah's injury at the moment. And he's just causing so many problems.
He's very strong, isn't he?
Yeah.
Up the front. I was going to say the second goal is more frustrating for me. Because we were on the attack at the point and obviously Burke's up the field and he's running back and he tugs, I don't know who had the ball at the time, but he's tugged the Aston Villa player and the game pauses for a brief second whilst the referee is booking him.
Yeah, that's right.
But then he allows that he's got his hand in the air for the quick free kick and we just switched off for that like we did against Manchester City from the throw-in. We switched off, the ball was through, the guy was definitely onside, he was never offside.
No, that's right, but the referee wasn't watching the game. He was in the process of booking someone. So if the referee isn't ready, you know, I know we're sort of clutching at straws and stuff like that, and people say, oh, you know, you've got your blinkers on and stuff. But he was booking our player. So our player couldn't be in the position that he needed to be because he was being told off by the ref. You know, that alone means that the free kick shouldn't have been able to have been taken so quickly.
You've seen it more times than ever that when someone takes a free kick before the guy's got his card back in his pocket, it's pulled back. That doesn't distract from it was an easy pass to make.
Mm-hmm.
One-on-one, Ollie Watkins ain't missing that.
No, but again, you know, it was a really good first touch. Put it out in front of him, and then, you know, he hits the inside of the post. I mean, he really is quite a relentless finisher, to be honest with you. You know, he's, again, a couple of years ago, he was sort of in and out. Emery got the best out of him. He said, right, you're our main man. And he's just flourished ever since he turned up.
To our disadvantage, really. Mm. And you also think about the role that Kaminsky's had in that first half. He's kept us in the game.
Absolutely.
Tremendous saves.
Mm.
But we still haven't had that. You know, despite the Haaland five against us, we haven't had that game where we've been totally outplayed. You know, Man City FA Cup done at home. Everything else we've been in by a goal. But to see two go in, you can only think we ain't getting back in this.
Well, we had it again. We've conceded, you know, Chelsea, Man U, you know,
Tottenham.
You know, the weekend again. You know, if we didn't have such outrageous mental strength and determination, then we would be another Sheffield United or Burnley. But there is just this absolute never say sort of die attitude. And that is what is getting us back into it, along with some subtle sort of tactical changes.
I think you got to pat Rob Edwards on the back because of his tactical changes. He must have given the right going over at half time.
Mm-hmm.
And they come out and they were a different side. They were a different side. Now, I asked this question. Was it different because Aston Villa were standing off? Or was it because they thought the job was done?
No.
Or was it different because we just stepped up and played how we know we can play?
Yeah, I don't think it was down to Villa, mate, because if Villa could have put five or six past us, they would gladly have tried to have done that. I've got no doubts about that at all. I watched the second half back again last night. And when we brought Hashi on and Doughty could return to a more attacking role, that is when it went up another notch. So a quick shout out to Hashi.
It's good to see him on the pitch, isn't it?
It's great to see him on the pitch.
I read something today, I think, about the impact that's had in Japan for mm-hmm. Luton Town. That can only be good for us.
Well, of course it is. Yeah, absolutely. But, you know, it's the fact that he's settled in and he's played a couple of positions already. He looked very composed. You know, I was watching him, you know, from left back. He was doing there was a lot of organising and pointing.
Well, I was about to say that. I did notice him sort of pointing, organising and requesting the ball and telling where that it should go.
Yeah.
It's all part of the game, isn't it? And it's good to see someone who's fairly young get involved like that.
It is. Do you think Robbie Edwards felt that he was forced into make that change because he saw that it wasn't working for us as a team going forward with Doughty being at the back there? Because, you know, again, with hindsight, and you saw how Hashi played,
would you have started him?
Yeah, or made that change straight away and left Doughty where he was? Because I just think when you make a change and then you move a couple of people, you know, you're upsetting like three different people there, and therefore the units around those three people. So you're really upsetting the whole dynamic of the side. You know, again, we saw how Hashi played. It's a shame that that didn't happen straight away. Left out he where he was because they're not Benjamin where he was, and a much more sort of.
It would be nice to see what happens when we got a full strength squad, wouldn't it? And then the dilemma is even harder, isn't it? Because you definitely want to get Eddie Bayer back into frame.
I was thinking about this last night, and you know, we got a crunch week coming up. Undoubtedly, this is a big week for us, you know. And I remember sort of previous playoff campaigns where, you know, people were injured and they were in the oxygen tent and, you know, all this lot. And God, if we could get Lokonga back, if we could get Elijah back, you know, it would just
give a bit more confidence that we can get some of these shots.
That's right, you know, and Osho 100% fit as well.
Yeah.
You know, at times against Villa, I felt a little bit sorry for Mengi because it did look as if he felt he was having to do it all himself. You know, he was running around like a lunatic. And, you know, again, for me, he was man of the match for me.
I want to talk about that incident before. So we talked about it, led up to the goal, Burke being booked for the shirt pull.
Mm.
In the second half, that happened to Morris. Mm-hmm. Morris was pulled.
Yeah.
Referee does nothing.
Yeah.
I know we can, because we're this small team in the division, it's a big team bias there, isn't it? Surely, you know, at the end of the day, it's exactly the same foul.
Mm-hmm.
Why does one warrant a yellow card and one doesn't?
Totally agree. At work, there is a wide group of clubs that are supported from Premier League down to League Two. And the vast majority of them all say that there is a big club preference. You know, they watched the Luton game and that they said exactly this thing. You know, it's easy not to give a decision, you know, in our favour, but it's not a new thing. It's been like this for an awful long time.
You're not wrong. The first goal from Chong, we bundled it over. I'll take it anywhere I can. He reacted quicker. Kenilworth Road erupts. Mm-hmm. I've got to say, the noise at Kenilworth Road on Sunday was brilliant.
Particularly down your end, to be
Saturday,
honest with you.
Yeah. Saturday. It was brilliant, and it went up a notch. Mm-hmm. And then I think goal of the game for me, similar to the Everton goal, wasn't it?
Very similar
to the Everton goal.
Just about to say that,
He stepped back, they run onto it, put it in. So fantastic delivery. 2-2. For me, at that point, with all the pressure we had, there was only one team that was going to win, and it wasn't going to be Aston Villa.
No, I mean, we had all the momentum. You know, again, the commentators waxing lyrical about Doughty's delivery.
Delivery was just spot on, but it has been all year.
It is, but he was way out wide. You know, he wasn't just a little bit over to one side. He was way out wide. And, you know, they said to get the ball that distance, you know, across the whole defence and no one been out to pick it up was absolutely brilliant. You know, but he's done it consistently throughout the season, though. He's just been brilliant. It's a wonderful left foot he's got. And the Everton goal that Morris scored, just before the kickoff was taken, he sort of backed off. This time, he gave the guy a shove, and then went.
Well for him. I love that he scored again. And at 2-2, like I said, is only, you know, that's 2 in 6 minutes. That's what made it even more like, come on, we can get this.
That's right, because there was a good 25-30 minutes
and,
to go.
And I was just thinking, we're going to win. We're just going to do it, you know. We had a Morris chance. We had...
Well, there was another almost identical one. I think it the flag went up in the end anyway. Morris just went a bit early, but it was another identical one. But it just goes to show what we were saying, Dave. Even though you know what Doughty's going to do, it's difficult to stop it if he gets it right.
I think it's just disappointing that you get so far back in a game and... one defensive error, and it was a big defensive error.
It was a shocker.
You know, just going around the back there and Kabore not spotting that the player was there. Everybody could see where we were. I think we were all shouting, you know, there's... And it's a kick in the teeth. But it was, again, good delivery from them, but poor defending on our right-hand side there.
Yeah. You say good delivery. I mean, it was chipped up.
He knew where it was going.
Yeah, he knew who he was aiming for.
Yeah,
he didn't sort of just do it aimlessly. But
I would say one player was switched on and one player wasn't. And I'm going to say Kabore was running his absolute self into the ground that game. He was just a little bit off it at the end.
From an attacking sense, that was a sensational second half from Kabore. It was one of the best performances, attacking-wise, that he's put in for us. He was so instrumental. He was involved in so much. You know, he really ran his socks off. But clearly, he has got a big blind spot. He didn't have a clue that the guy was behind him.
So that's not just his fault. That's got to be someone else saying, look out. Panto style almost, he's behind you.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you know, the keeper can see it because he's obviously looking up the pitch. You know, that I don't know. But I'm sorry, a fullback particularly has to be switched on at all times about what's going on around him.
He knew it was a huge mistake, though, Steve. At the end, his reaction at the end was like, he was devastated. He had to get picked up.
I saw Mengi had to pick him up. And I've got no doubt, you know, he is an absolute salt of the earth guy. You saw that about how he reacted when Lockyer collapsed. So there's no doubt he's got all the attributes. But just in isolation, there is clearly something wrong, because it was a similar thing with Liverpool. He got caught on his back legs, and it's devastatingly cost us again.
Well, we lose the 3 points. We come away from it with a bit of hope, I think. A bit of hope. A disappointment, really. The Manchester City game genuinely walked out of that thing. Oh well, it's only FA Cup, you know. But on Saturday, I walked away from there thinking, well, we could have got something out of that and we should have won.
Mm, exactly. And
second half performance. Look, first off, that sounds like I'm belittling Aston Villa. Mm. And if you're an Aston Villa fan, this is that. That didn't come out as I meant it to say. Aston Villa are a decent side this season. They play super well. But our second half performance at home alone deserved us to get something from the game.
Yeah.
As always, that didn't happen. It's the first time... Oh, the only second time in Aston Villa's history that they've done the double over us.
Yeah.
That's crazy, so that.
Well, it is. When you think about the stature of them, you'd have thought that would have happened more. But no, I mean, it's just so disappointing. There must be something as to why we're not coming down on the right side of any of these epic games.
Luck's got to change, Steve, I think. Colton Morris.
Well, it's got to be now, Dave, because, you know, we've throughout the season we've said, you know, when this and if that. It is now for me. This next...
Palace, Forest, Bournemouth are the three that we need to get at least 7 points from.
You know, and if we've been, you know, quietly sort of getting energy levels back into Elijah, you know, because I saw Elijah and Lokonga on the exercise bike today. We saw that tweeted. So if they can be back and fit and sort of showing the class that they have been... then I really fancy our chances of getting some points, because, say, we've got a competitive, very good competitive 14 or 15.
I think the worrying thing is that we've conceded 20-odd goals, 22 goals since we lost 4-0, beat Brighton 4-0. However, Morris is on fire, 5 goals, 3 assists in the last few games.
Mm.
And it's a fact, really, that, we can't look over. We know it's a tough time.
Yeah, it's way too many goals conceded, though, Dave. And you know, there's quite a lot that are massively avoidable and straight down the middle.
When we started the podcast tonight, we talked briefly about Jordan Clarke. I thought he was outstanding on Saturday. I think he has come in. He stepped up, and he's, you know, I think he's. Where he should be. After scoring that goal at Wembley, he gets the keys to the town anyway. But since being back from injury, I think he's been really on it, really superb. And, you know, he got a couple of goals. But his performance for me on Saturday was immense. And I would have made him up there with my man of the match.
Yeah.
I can't remember who got it, but it wasn't him, was it?
No, it was given to Kabore.
Kabore.
Yeah. Just before 87th minute.
Yeah, but you see, there's the issue, really.
But it shows how fantastic Kabore was attacking-wise in that second half.
Yeah, I'm not, you know, thinking that Kabore wasn't a player. I just thought Jordan Clarke, his distribution, his energy, his defending, I thought he was great all round. And I just turned to my mate Keith in our end and...
Little name dropper.
Yeah, okay. He's not there really, Steve. And I said to them all, I think for me, he was one of the best players on the park.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. I mean, when he got injured in Germany pre-season...
it's a kick, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, and he'd
have
known...
He must have been totally gutted.
Yeah, he must have been absolutely devastated. With regards to Clarkey, I think, like Luke Berry, he is such an intelligent player. He is such an intelligent player. He is good with both feet. You know, he really, you can see his technique. He's really concentrating on getting a good connection every single time. Some of the passes, some of the angles, some of the movements that he makes, a lot of our other players can't. I think he's exceptional. Obviously, there's been one or two games when he first came back where he's probably thinking, Christ,
this is a bit quicker.
This is a bit quicker. This is a bit more intense than that. But, you know, you can see how quickly he's got up to a level, you know, and he is performing, he is sort of passing the ball wonderfully. And, you know, free transfer from bloody Accrington. It's just outrageous.
If you haven't done this already, folks, if you want something to do, look how we played two leagues ago compared to now and see the difference in quality of our team.
Mm.
It's amazing.
It is.
And the football is so much better. But Clark's come through a couple of divisions with us and he's just performing much better than I really expected him to, if I'm honest.
And I think that this is one of the best stories about the club, to be honest with you. The way so many players have come from one or two of the divisions below. You know, I mean, it just shows that, you know, one, the scouting in the first place, two, the coaching, you know, and how the team has evolved, the style of play is evolved, and the players have been able to carry on and go through that whole journey, and they're still performing. So,
and whatever happens, some of them will become an asset that will sell for a large value, and some of them will have that experience.
Mm.
You know, come the end of the season, who will stay, who will go, we'll have that discussion another day.
Yeah.
But it's good to see that we stuck with them. And I think I was listening again to the former Sheffield United manager, it was a Heckenbottom, saying that we kept our identity when we came up. And I think that was a big thing. He said that Sheffield United didn't do that. They got rid of seven players. They brought more people in. But we kept our identity. We kept that core of players together. Yeah. And they all want the same as us.
I think a lot of people have said it. I mean, Merson said it a few weeks ago, and he said, I love the fact that Luton have just stayed who they are, you know, what they're good at, what they've built up over 3 or 4 years. You know, and as Robbie Edwards said, by having someone like Barkley, it allows you to evolve the style of play slightly. But, you know, he still puts a shift in, he still works hard and tackles and everything. So, you know, he doesn't take anything away from what we were beforehand, but
Jordan Clark is part of that, isn't he? In the way he plays,
just brilliant. I think he's one of the most intelligent players we've got at the club.
Wow! So we asked you guys, what have you made of Jordan Clark's performances since returning from injury? Ian said, very good indeed. He tries hard, makes the effort. Two superb goals versus Manchester City, albeit they didn't contribute to a win. But Ian, do you know what? They were two of the best goals of the night.
Yeah,
without a doubt. Reece, I think he's been improving massively, but he has to play as a centre mid, not a winger. Richard says, looks at home at this level, calm, under pressure and can finish as he proved against City. Mm-hmm. And Harry says, after Lokonga and the Canberra injuries, I was concerned wouldn't step up, but he's proved me wrong. Mm. He's calm on the ball, has good vision and can score the odd goal also. For me, Clicker isn't a holding midfielder.
No.
But considering who he has been against, I thought he's been awesome.
Yeah.
You know, I think that sums it up. We've got a great player in Clicker.
Yeah, yeah. I think Nathan Jones said it was the best free transfer that he's ever had.
Yeah, he won't say that now. He's at Charlton, though, will he? So, you know,
he was starting with, look.
Yeah, when I was at Luton.
Yeah.
Palace away is sold out. What a massive game that is coming up.
Sold out in minutes, isn't it, the last few
ridiculous
tickets?
Ridiculous. We do this every time. Crystal Palace, Bournemouth, Forest. Those three games, Tottenham and Arsenal, three hits.
Yeah.
Although the way Tottenham are playing at the moment, maybe we'll get a chance. Arsenal I'm a bit concerned about.
Yeah.
But four away games. And from, you know, so Palace and Bournemouth. Bournemouth are actually...
Bournemouth are... They're not a bad team, you know.
They are not going to be a walkover at all, are they? No. Bournemouth are going to go for it because they want the points.
Yeah.
The big one, Palace and then Forest.
Yeah.
And the Forest at home, given the fact that they're pending their points deduction, which is rumoured to be six.
Right.
It can't be any less than six,
no,
but it's
rumoured
to
so.
Be six. If they go more than six, I'm sure they'll appeal it.
But wouldn't they appeal it if they got six, do you not think?
I don't think they can. I think because I think the Everton thing has set a precedent there. And I think the Everton points deduction will play a role in how much they get. So I'm going to say they're going to get six. Maybe Everton will get six more.
Yeah.
Who knows? But we can't rely on the points deductions, and it's still in our own hands. If you beat Forest, though, that is a big six-pointer from us. We're going to have a special preview of the Forest game with my mate Dave Asprey from London Forest. It'll be fun.
No, that's good. It's one of our biggest weeks for
100%
for a long, long time.
Do you fancy us at Crystal Palace, or do you think they've just hit that form, haven't they, since they changed from Washington?
Well, yeah, they've got the new manager bounce. I think Eze was back at the weekend. He scored a half-decent goal against Spurs, but eventually, you know, Spurs overdone them. They're definitely more of a threat with him in the side.
But we shouldn't be frightened of them because we played well this season. And, if we could
get our full team back, then I really fancy us. You know, earlier on in the season when sort of Elijah wasn't sort of starting every time, or he was sort of, you know, behind Morris as the main man, you think, oh, well, it's not quite working that. But the way he came into form a couple of months back, it was just sensational though, Dave. I don't think we could have predicted going up the level that he has and sort of just dominating some of the best defenders in the world at times.
It was super frustrating when you know you've got a player that's not playing that is that decent. Dare I ask, how many points are we getting out of the next five? Because I'm thinking we need nine. I'm thinking we need nine, but if we get seven, we'd be happy with that.
I think we're going to get six.
We need another 15. And we're running out of games. We've got to start winning. I don't think we haven't won for like five games.
Going to say, and it's the amount of goals we're conceding that is a real concern.
Well, if you look at the table, though, I think Brentford have only conceded a couple more than us, and I think Forest are on the same level as us. You know, let's be honest, Burnley must have gone now. They must be gone. Sheffield United, you know, all things considered, must be gone.
Yep.
If they stay up, fair play to them.
Oh, you know, yeah, going to say that would be one of the biggest shifts in Premier League history,
which would probably
it?
Condemn us. But if we can get some points, on the board, six would be great. And if we're only going to get six, we need to make sure three of them are against Nottingham Forest.
Palace
and Forest.
The six I have suggested, and it is a real hope, it is Palace and Forest. I think
if we can get six from that.
Yeah,
and then anything from the other three, we'll be happy.
Yeah, I mean, if we can get something from Bournemouth, then great.
Well, Bournemouth away is going to be quite an emotional night as well, isn't it? Tom Lockyer is going to be right there.
Very much.
And everybody's going to be emotional.
Apparently, Bournemouth have put a lot of work in, and there's a lot of things going on that day, which is really good to hear.
Bournemouth people, thanks for doing that. But could do us one more thing. Let us have the 3 points. That'd be much more helpful.
Yep.
I'm excited by it, the football coming up, actually. I'm excited by it. Don't forget, the Arsenal game's been moved as well.
Yeah.
That's a 7:30 now, isn't it, on April the 3rd.
Yeah.
I'm excited by the Premier League still. I'm still having a great time in this league. Do we want to stay in it? Yeah, of course we do. We want to be part of the top echelon. So that
we don't do anything boringly. You know, every season is an absolute roller coaster.
It's part of being who we are at Luton Town. You know, no season's ever been brilliantly easy. Never. You never expect it. And then when the success comes, you know, grab it, mate. Grab it. Anyone who's young has only ever seen us in this period that we're in now. You don't know how fantastically lucky you are to see us in this position.
No, exactly.
But I had it in the 80s. I remember when I first went to a game, we were just getting promoted. But I've seen promotions.
Was it a Friday night at home to Wrexham when we won the title, was it? Shrewsbury.
Shrewsbury, yeah. 4-2.
Yeah, that's right. I was there that
4-2.
Night.
4-2. But I remember, obviously winning the league up at Wrexham, Disney club. And I remember getting relegated. I remember, it's just a glorious time to be a Hatter right now. Glorious time.
The emotional investment is,
it's why we love football so much, Steve, isn't it? It's why we love football so much, and that's why we love the club. The club are on it. We're all together, and that's lovely. Get behind them. If you go into Palace, look out. If you see me there, come over, say hi. I'm hoping that we get a good result at Palace.
Yeah.
A good result. A draw at Bournemouth will do me. And a win at Forest. And then from there on in. So tell us what you're thinking.
Come on.
What's the score going to be? How many points are we going to get out of our next five? If you're watching on YouTube, please leave a comment. Thanks for listening. Thanks for watching. That's all from us. Pataro should be back with us next week.
Good.
And we'll see you all then. Take care.
See you soon.
Bye.